Good morning, church. Y buenos días, iglesia. It's good to be here again in the house of the Lord. It's always wonderful to be here as we talk about how to find that one lost sheep. How to find that one lost sheep. And these thoughts are based upon Matthew 18. Let's go to Matthew 18, beginning in verse 12 through 14. For verses that perhaps in our Christian experience we have not heard many sermons about, I certainly have not heard too many about this passage. But Jesus Christ describes this. He says, "What do you think," in verse 12, "if any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish." Now, verse 13 may seem odd. How can you celebrate and be so happy about one gone astray more than the 99 not gone astray? And it's because the 99 are safe, but the one who is not safe is now safe. It describes a man going into the mountains and searching and working to find that one person. It shows just how much the Lord wants people to be saved. You see a priority, you see a desire, you see a rejoicing in salvation. It seems unrealistic. Surely this is a parable. Surely no one would truly leave 99 sheep on a mountain to find one. That doesn't really happen, right? It seems unrealistic. Perhaps we are more of a people who prefer to remain in the safe 99 rather than go out into the wilderness and find that one. Perhaps we find ourselves perhaps more comfortable with the 99 and say, "Well, I got 99 here. The one is on their own. Now, they left, so it's their own issue." But we have to make sure that in our Christianity, saving and seeking the lost remains a priority that it should be. It might be easier and safer and require less energy to stick with the 99 and perhaps, we'll pray for the one. You have my prayers. Perhaps it would be easier to show a long-distance Christianity style rather than the personal, up-close Christianity that is required to understand this passage. But we see that Christ has an expectation for us of energy, of strength, of desire, of loving the lost and trying to save people, especially those who were once saved before. And so, my sermon is how to find that one lost sheep. What does it take realistically to follow this passage? How can we take this passage and make it not so idealistic, but make it realistic in our Christian lives? Well, number one, as we've already said, we have to adopt the Christ priority on saving the lost. Apparently, according to Christ, saving people was a big deal. Apparently, Christ made that a priority to save people who were lost, and we have to also adopt that priority. We have to be as serious as Christ was to saving people who are lost. That's number one. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, 35 through 38. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. I love this. Christ is looking over a mass of people and he felt compassion for them. I don't know about you, but for me, it is so easy for me to only feel compassion for somebody that I know. If I understand the situation, I'll feel compassion for them. But a general mass of people, I don't know what they're doing in their lives every single day. Why should I feel sorry for them? Unless they come to me and express the need for help, why should I feel sorry for them? That is my initial reaction. But Christ is looking over a mass of people who were not right and had compassion. He wanted them to be saved. He didn't care what they did. He didn't care where they came from. He didn't care what they were doing. He desired that they be saved, recognizing that their lifestyle is a lifestyle of the lost, like a sheep without a shepherd. Do we feel bad for people who are in sin? Do we desire for them to be saved? Or do we say, well, hey, you're in sin, so let me know when you wake up. No, Christ felt compassion for them. And he said to the disciples, the harvest is plenty. Look at, there's plenty of people to save, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. You remember Luke 19:10, why did Christ come? Why did Jesus Christ come to earth? What was the entire purpose? What was the entire plan? You see, if Luke 19:10 doesn't exist, then the Bible is merely a book about good ideals. It is simply a book of nice sayings. It is simply a book of encouragement. But Luke 19:10 puts a purpose behind Christ's visit. He puts a purpose into the Word of God. He turns our jobs, our lives, into a mission. He gives us purpose because Luke 19:10, Christ says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Everything about the Bible culminates in Luke 19:10. This is what Christ came to do. This is the entire reason why we have a Bible. This is why God cried over Israel. This is why Christ went on the cross. This is why this entire ordeal is taking place, is because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. And I pray that we can adopt the same kind of priority as Christ had to save souls. In that way, if we have Christ's priority, then we too will desire to find that one lost sheep, no matter how difficult it is. The second way to make sure that we desire to find that lost sheep is to be aware of how the sheep are doing. To be aware of how the flock is doing. We have to know about each other to know which one of us is falling away. If our Christianity is merely about me and myself, we can't even know what's going around us. They say once you get above 100 people, it gets hard to keep track of everybody in church. It gets easier. The church transitions from a small church to a big church once you get around 100 people. And at that point, people can fall around the wayside. And the challenge of a church is to still keep track of each other past 100. That is our challenge. That is our task. And churches succeed in doing so. They keep growing because there are people in church who care about each other. Sure, we might get bigger, and there may be more people, but we also can have more people who care, more people who keep track, more people who call, more people who visit. It is possible to continue to grow, but we have to have people who are aware of each other. It should be important to all of us to understand how everybody is doing around us. I recognize not all of us can keep track of everybody here, but I pray all of us have at least a circle of people, of fellow saints, that we understand and recognize and talk to and are keeping track of. So we know what's going on. So we desire to keep them here if they begin to stray. So following this, Matthew 18:12-14 requires that we know about each other. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Paul says it directly. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. If we are doing that, we will make sure that that one person who may stray will have help, will have somebody going after them. Number three, how to find that lost sheep? Well, we have to have an idea of what may have caused the one to leave. We got to be aware. It's related to figuring out what's going on, but we should know what the issue is and attempt to solve the issue. And how do we know what's going on with each other? Again, it requires talking to each other and learning of each other. I want to reemphasize how important it is that we go to church with the mission and the task as a service to serve each other, to serve the Lord, to talk to each other. It is so important to have fellowship. Fellowship is our glue. Fellowship is our bind, our love that keeps us together. And that requires communication, learning, talking. Do we know what's going on with each other? Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Notice gentleness. A very important aspect of our Christianity, especially when we notice something is not right, perhaps, with our brethren. Gentleness. And in so doing, we can keep track of each other. Or how about Jude 1? Jude 1, 22 and 23, the same desire, the same passion. Jude 1, 22 and 23. Have mercy on some who are doubting. This is talking about brethren. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some, have mercy with fear, hating even the garments polluted by the flesh. Do we know the spiritual obstacles that we are going through with each other? Do we understand what's happening with each other? Are we there to help each other out? Do we know what's going on with each other? If so, we are capable of doing the ideal of seeking the lost, that one person. Number four, having a clear understanding of what it takes to be in the flock. If we're looking for lost sheep, we should know what sheep look like. If we have a group of people around us and we're not sure what a Christian is, we can't tell if that person is not a Christian. If our Christianity is so blurry that we don't know if someone's here with us or not, do we? But if we have a clear understanding of what it means to be a Christian, we know what it looks like when someone's not a Christian. And that requires a clear understanding of what it takes to be a Christian. What do sheep even look like? How do we look? How can we tell? 1 John 2, 18 and 19. 1 John chapter 2, 18 and 19. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For they have been of us, they would remain with us. But they went out so that it should be known that they are not all of us. They are not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. We can know what a Christian looks like and thereby be able to save people who apparently are showing not being a Christian. So what does it mean to be a Christian? Number one, obviously Acts 2:38. That has to happen. Christianity requires a response to the gospel call to believe, to repent, to be baptized, and thereby be saved. And once that happens, we should know for sure this person is with us. They are added to the church. They are added to me. They are added as a body. And how else do we tell? Well, never underestimate the importance of church attendance. Never underestimate the sign of church attendance. Let us know for a fact that if someone is no longer attending and living in a lost way, it's not okay. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. Hebrews chapter 10, 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's a command that we continue to meet with each other. A command. Church attendance is, as far as Christianity is concerned, not optional in terms of salvation. It is part of what we do to maintain our salvation. Church attendance, in that sense, in terms of salvation, is as important as the Lord's Supper. Church attendance, in salvation's concern, is as important as our baptism. All of these things contribute to our salvation. Take one away. Church attendance, Lord's Supper, our baptism, and we don't have salvation. Salvation is not there. So one very clear way to detect and see if somebody's having difficulty, are they attending church anymore? Are we attending church anymore? Let's be aware of what it takes to appear like the flock, to be with the flock, and to stay with the flock. I'm seeing our time right now, and I know we have a special offering left, and I have a lot of more sermon to go. So what I'm considering doing, actually, so we can definitely give that fellowship offering to take care of the people who are around the world going through tragedy, I think I may have to continue on tonight with this lesson. I have a long way to go. I don't want to rush through it. There's a lot more to go here. So let me give perhaps one more point, and then we'll definitely do this offering before it gets too late. A church, in order to follow the ideals of the lost sheep, has to be a church that's also mature. A mature church. Because one aspect that we don't quite talk about, we think about the one that's out and lost and gone away, we at times may forget about the 99 that are left behind. What about the 99 that are left behind? What kind of attitude must they have in order for this passage to be fulfilled? Those 99 left behind must sit together and wait and are mature enough to do so. What are they doing while the search for the one sheep is going on? And the hope and the prayer and a parable is that they're remaining in the faith. That they're acting mature and not being foolish. One comparison I think about a lot of, it's kind of stretching the ideal a bit, but is how Moses was going to the mountain. When Moses went about to receive the word of God, he left the community, the church, behind. And what were they doing? Let's go to Exodus 32, beginning in verse 1. Exodus chapter 32, beginning in verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this man Moses, the man he brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." That can't happen if this parable is going to work out for us. And I know the analogy is kind of stretched here, but I believe it works enough. In Exodus 32, the church was about receiving, 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 and not about giving, giving, and giving. Rather than being the adults who were able to teach and be holy people unto God, that is the command in Hebrews 5:12. He says, though you ought to be teachers, you are now once more in need of really baby food, milk. and he's talking to the church at large. All of you are expected to be a people who are standing firm, a people who are mature, a people who are more concerned about giving when they come to church rather than receiving. I pray that for all of us here today, we are about what can I do to bless this church rather than what can I get out of church today. It is those kind of people that make that parable work. The 99 who are also mature themselves. The Moses situation, they were still kind of babies. So when Moses was gone, they acted like fools. But we, if we are faithful as we should, we are doing our job still as a church until that one person comes back. Tonight, I will talk more about how do we find that one sheep. I want to talk about when that one sheep might not be a sheep at all, and how do we deal with that in more care and concern. But part of our church work here, part of our work, I love that we're contributing, coming together, and thinking about people and Christians around the world who are suffering about with the hurricanes. So we will definitely focus on that right now. But before we go, I pray everybody here has the kind of attitude as Christians to give, to seek, and save the priority of Christ. And I pray anybody here that is not yet in the faith, that they may consider the gospel call, consider what it takes to become a Christian. The Bible says as you believe in Christ, as you are baptized, as you repent from an old way of life, if you do these things, you will be saved and added, identified as Christian, as part of the flock. Please think of these things as we stand and sing.